I know it's here somewhere.
Finally.
Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in.
Enjoy the show.
We sure do. Hope you enjoy the show today. Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon here. And as I record this, it is 7:07:07. How many sevens can you stand? Wow. I mean, that's got to be like, you know, the cosmic forces of the universe are uniting in some strange and cosmic way when you have 7:07:07. Cool. And of course, in the great cosmic scheme of things, this is podcast number 95. Truly the cosmic edition of the podcast, because this is the big 95. The big 100 will be coming up soon, very, very soon. And when it does, you know we're going to do special stuff. So get ready for special stuff. You're gonna like it. Well, I think it's just about time for our geek culture. Now, this particular geek culture is not new, okay? But it is a celebration of MP3-ness. And this being a podcast recorded on MP3, by the way, you heard it on a podcast. You know, we'll play just a tad of that song. Ooh, boy, that was loud. Yeah, this is a song by Cruise Box on a podcast. And, of course, that's what this is, Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, the podcast. We're going to play just a little bit of this to celebrate the fact.
Do you remember way back last
this
summer?
This is a podcast.
When mainstream radio was such a freaking bummer. No indie music, nothing too funny. Clear channel radio, did it for the money.
Podcast! Yeah, that's cool. Alright, well, enough of that. Let's go into the actual geek culture that I planned for today, which is I Want My MP3. This is one of many parodies of Dire Straits' song, I Want My MTV. But in our case, of course, being a podcast, we want our MP3. Get it? Get it? Yeah, you got it. Alright. Quality of the recording is terrible because it's off the net and it's bad. But hey, that's part of the geek culture, isn't it?
Oh, look at that computer. That's the way you do it. Play your music on your MP3. That ain't stealing. Everybody's doing it. Get your music for nothing and you hit the free. That ain't crooked. Everybody's doing it. Let me tell you, them kids ain't dumb. They don't give a rip about their favorite singer. They just keep on ripping off their songs. We got to install MP3 players. Labels, bitches, losing royalty. Got to download, and maybe later we're gonna burn a dozen CDs. Look at that. Hey, Jim. The music on the MP3. That
that ain't crooked. Everybody's doing it. It's your music for nothing and you hit for free. It's your music for nothing. It's a hit for free. Oh, that ain't
This show is a proud member of the TechPodcast.com network. Find out more about this show and others at www.techpodcast.com. Tech Podcast. If it's tech, it's here.
Yes, indeed. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. I'm just kind of sliding those things in and out, trying to get a little more professional about how we do things around here. Isn't that cool? Anyway, we also, of course, have a Game Master segment for you. Now, a word of explanation. I've been struggling with the Game Master segment, trying to get the quality improved by all kinds of various permutations of technologies, and I finally got a professional sound mixing board with a USB interface and got it all set up so that the Game Master and I can actually have a conversation and you can hear what we're saying. Now, here's the thing. That is that I'm still tweaking and adjusting. So the tweaking and adjusting means that there are still slight artifacts in the recording. So I'll keep working on that. But it is still much, thousands of times better than using Skype. The end of Skype has arrived. Gotta love that. So, without much further ado, a little bit, but not much, further ado, we shall go into the vaunted Game Master segment. All right, here we are again with the Game Master segment, and we are using a new technology.
Real microphones, Mike.
Real microphones, real mixing board equals real sound.
And no more Skype, ever.
You gotta love that. So here we are, the Game Master. What do you have on your mind this week?
I have a lot of games that I want to review.
Okay.
Not sure I can get to all of them.
Go for it.
Okay, first of all, the Mega Man Battle Network series. Most anyone who has heard of Mega Man has heard of this series, right? There are 6 installments. I've played all but one of them.
Okay.
Now, Battle Network 2, we'll start with that, is my favorite game in the series. That is my absolute favorite. It featured a system called the Style Change System that allowed Mega Man to change the element of his attacks, as well as gaining things like a shield or extra Navi chips or whatever you wanted.
I see. And which one is that?
2. The
2.
Second one.
Okay.
Number 1 is the one I haven't played, by the way, just to let you know. Out of my 10-point rating system, I give it at least a 9.
Ah.
On to number 3, because I have something to say about number 3. I lost my copy.
Like, the game?
Yeah. I can't review it because I've never played it all the way through.
Uh-huh. Well, that's bad.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. That's very bad.
So, you don't have any idea where you lost it?
No clue.
Bummer.
It's been missing forever.
Double bummer.
But, Battle Network 4. I have the Blue Moon version. There are 2 versions, Blue Moon and Red Sun. It's
which also will take away Superman's powers, by the way.
Sure.
You know, Red Sun, Krypton, take away powers.
Yeah, thanks. We get it.
Okay.
It's a pretty good game. It gets maybe a 7 out of 10.
Probably didn't have Superman in it, though.
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
They changed the sprite style for whatever reason between number 3 and number 4, which I was not happy about, by the way.
This, of course, not being the sprite that you drink.
No.
This is the sprite, like the little character on the screen.
Yeah.
And they changed the style, meaning it looks
different. Yes. They're smaller now than they were before.
Ah.
Which is yucky looking to me. But anyway. Unfortunately, they kept that style throughout the entire rest of the series, but what you gonna do?
I see. I guess. Anyway.
Right. Also, the difficulty level is off the charts. Just to let you know.
So, smaller sprites, but harder too.
Yes.
Bummer.
Battle Network 5 also had two versions, Team Proto Man and Team Colonel. I have beaten both, and I have the DS version of it. So I've basically played every aspect of the game, except the secret area. What?
I just had a revelation, kind of, sort of. Do you realize, of course, you're reviewing Mega Man, and your theme...
is Mega Man.
Is Mega Man! So we finally got the theme to match!
That is the point, yes.
Dude, gotta love that.
Anyway...
Go ahead.
Battle Network 5 gets 8.5, probably. It was a major improvement over 4.
I see.
It was a lot better. Oh, and by the way, 4 and 5 used a style change... try that again. Used a Soul Union system instead of the style change, where basically you would take on the powers of a different net navvy instead of modifying Mega Man's powers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a bit weird, but still, it was fun. Battle Network 6 was a massive improvement.
Cool.
They went back to their original awesomeness in that one. That gets another 9.
I see.
I have actually fully beaten that game, except I have not finished the entirety of the secret area, just to let you know.
The secret area?
Yeah, there are secret areas in all of them, including secret bosses, but I haven't beaten any of them yet. I'm pretty decently into Battle Network 2's secret, though.
Okay.
Anyway, 6 introduced the cross system, which was very similar to the Soul Union system in that it gave very similar powers, but it was a little easier to activate. You just had to press a button, basically.
Cool.
Very nice. And it also was a lot easier. I don't know why. It may just be, you know, I had a lot of experience with the game now, but it was a lot easier for whatever reason.
Cool.
That does it for the Battle Network series, unless you want to count Transmission, which I also have not beaten yet, so I can't review it.
The Battle Network series, does that mean that MX is not part of that series?
ZX.
ZX. MX, ZX. It's got an X in it.
So it does.
Yes.
The other series are, of course, the original series, which is just Mega Man. Then there was Mega Man X, Mega Man Zero, Mega Man ZX... the new one, Mega Man Star Force or whatever, and Mega Man Legends, which I really don't care about at all.
So, what would you say is, like, the most awesome of the whole thing?
That would definitely be the next game I'm about to review, Rockman ZX, or, if you prefer, Mega Man ZX.
Yeah, he's more of a traditionalist when it comes to the Japanese.
Japanese name for Mega Man was Rockman.
Because he rocks.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
Anyway, ZX introduced... you to 2 new main characters. It's set 200 years after the Zero series, which was set 100 years after the X series, which was set 100 years after the original series, which is somewhat confusing, but you'll get
those
it.
Those dudes live a long time.
No, actually, most of them are dead.
Okay.
Hence you the new main characters.
Excuse me. Anyway, go ahead.
Right. The new main characters are called Vent and Isle. Interestingly, those are French names, not Japanese. Don't ask me why.
So they're just being cosmopolitan. Yeah, go ahead.
Moving on. Vent and Isle, or I should say Vent or Isle, since you have your choice of the character and the other one is completely ignored when you choose one, which is silly. They find Model X, which is based off of Mega Man X, who was the hero of Mega Man X, which is... obvious.
Yeah. Even I got that.
Yeah. Anyway, Model X is actually my favorite model in the game, despite the fact that it's also the first one. It just rocks. What can I say? You then get more models throughout the game, including Model ZX, Model HX, Model FX, Model PX, and Model LX.
Lots of X's.
That's because they all merge with Model X in order to make a new model.
I see. Modular.
Anyway, each one gives you special powers and a special element that allows you to hit a boss's weak point. Actually, that came out wrong. Each boss is weak to an element, and that element does extra damage against that boss. However, each boss also has a weak point on their armor. If you hit that weak point, it does more damage, but it also damages the model that you get from beating them.
Uh-huh.
So, basically, it's a trade-off. You either get the full model, or you do extra damage.
It's kind of odd to think that it's all so very complicated and stuff in the gaming
only
world.
Only to him.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I know about other things. You know about these things. Everybody knows about something.
Or something.
Sounds very philosophical, doesn't it?
Sure, go with that. Ahem.
Well, we're coming up on a time break here.
Let me just say.
So, what are some final words? Okay.
Two more things. First of all, ZX gets 9.5 out of 10.
Dude.
Advent, the sequel, is going to be a major improvement on that, by the way. It should get a 10 out of 10.
Is it
going?
It's not out yet?
It's coming October 12th, I believe.
October 12th. See, he knows these things. That's why he's the game master.
Yeah. And then secondly, our theme music is actually a tune from ZX.
Yes, taken from the game.
Right. It's the song they play during the first level.
Cool. And it's very gamey.
It's a very good song.
Cool.
I love it.
Which is why it's his theme song. Well, cool. Lots of reviews, all jam-packed together into less than 10 minutes. Pretty neat.
So in closing, we shall say, rock on!
Rock on with Rock Man. Get it? Rock on, rock. Okay! There you go, the Game Master segment, and we're working on the quality there. We're going to keep increasing that quality until we get it just exactly right. Yeah, got to love that. Alrighty, well, here's the thing. We got more stuff to do on Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. Lest you forget the URL for Dr. Bill. thecomputercurmudgeon.com. Now, of course, that is the long version of the URL, and it still works, thecomputercurmudgeon.com. Or you can just take the short version, which is what I like to do these days, drbill.cc for Computer Curmudgeon. And that works really well, too. Speaking of the Computer Curmudgeon, the blog, there's a little kind of ad over to the right-hand side about Go to My PC. And if you're looking for an excellent way to get to your PC no matter where you are on the planet, if you have an internet connection and can just go to your PC through that connection, that's what Go to My PC allows you to do. So I'd encourage you to check it out. We've got a special deal where if you click on that little banner right there on the right-hand side column of the blog, you can try Go to My PC for one full month, absolutely free, no obligation. Click on it, go to it, download Go to My PC, and try it. You will be amazed and impressed. So check it out. All right, we've got some good stuff for you this week on the podcast. We're starting out with an item about Google buying Grand Central. Now, basically, if you find anything profitable on the internet, Google is going to grab a hold of it and try to make some more money. And with the advent of mobile phones that offer more and more internet features, they wanted to grab a hold of a business that worked with those special features, and that was a company called Grand Central Communications based in Fremont, California. So, Google has bought that company and will start incorporating that technology into some of their products. So we're looking forward to that. See what they're going to come up with. Whoa, there's our drum roll, which means it's time for a Geek Software of the Week. And this one is possibly one of the more rocking Geek Software of the Weeks. This is an item called DB Power Amp. There's a free version, there's a paid version. The free version works great. I liked it so much, I went ahead and paid the money and got the paid version because it has a whole lot of cool features. I tell you, this software, if you work with audio at all, it's almost a mandatory download to get DB Power Amp. Now, a lot of people have problems ripping CDs, okay? They've got music on their PC, they want to rip it to a CD, and they try this, they try that, there's all kinds of software. You can download DB Power Amp for free and reliably rip a CD from your audio with zero problems. But the other cool thing is conversion. If you want to convert an audio file from one format to another, you can interchange between formats like MP3, MP4, M4A, which is the iTunes iPod world, Windows Media Audio, WMA, Ogvorbis, there's our old friend Og, ACC, Monkeys Audio, FLAC, Apple Lossless, ALAC, lots more formats. You really need to download the free utility, try it out. It is impressive. Yes, indeed. And like I say, if you like it, you're going to like it so much you're probably going to want to pay them. And that's what keeps them writing cool software. So think about it. Good idea. All right, next item, WE101. That's WE101, the aggregator of the blogosphere. Don't you love blogosphere? Isn't that a weird word? Anyway, Roe Smith Jr. has provided a blog aggregator for Greensboro, North Carolina, called Greensboro101.com, and I've used that for a long time, probably just about since starting the podcast. I have used Greensboro 101 and have really enjoyed it because I can with one glance, I can see what's going on in the Greensboro blogging universe. Now, Greensboro, as you know, is called, nicknamed, Blogsboro because there's so many blogs. And I guarantee you, if you check out Greensboro's blogging world, there is something there for everybody. And there's some there that are just so wild and off the wall, you won't believe it. But you can get a lot of really good information from the left, shall we say, the right, in the middle, tech, non-tech, just about anything you can imagine is there. And you really need to check it out. And what he did, what Roche did, is he said, you know, this is cool for Greensboro, but let's just open this technology up and make it available to the world. And so he came up with WE101, WE101.com. And you can go there and you can select, you know, city, or I should say state, and then city, and then add your blog under your city and state. And by the time everybody does that, we'll have the entire blogosphere basically aggregated to where we can look at the feeds from everybody's blogs. Dude, I told him, you're going to be the next Kevin Rose, dude. Hey, check it out. And from right here in my hometown location, Greensboro, North Carolina, gotta love that. Microsoft will extend the Xbox 360 warranty mainly because the Xbox 360 is a terrible piece of hardware and it is failing at every turn. It's dying, failing, going up in smoke. Three red lights on the console and you're doomed. Microsoft is getting so much flack over this that they finally decided, all right, we'll just extend the warranty to 3 full years. And if you've had problems with your Xbox 360 and sent it back to them and they've replaced it, they will turn around now and pay you retroactively. So listen, if you got a 360 and you had to send it back and you had to pay them, hit them up for it. They're supposed to pay you back. And that includes the shipping. Okay? They're trying to make good for the fact that they came out with some stinking hardware by redoing it. So take advantage of that. Every bit of money we can take from Microsoft, we ought to do it. Yes, spoken as someone that does not own an Xbox 360. All right, next item. Microsoft tries to wiggle out of the GPL version 3. Yes. Microsoft, you know, started signing all these agreements with Linux companies like Novell. And when they did, they made themselves applicable to the GPL version 3. That's the new public license, new as in GNU, new public license, the G is silent, version 3, and the provisions thereof. Okay? And Microsoft has since announced, we don't agree or apply to the GPL. Yeah. Well, Stephen J. Von Nichols has an article in eWeek, and he says this, Microsoft wants everyone to understand that the GPL version 3 has nothing to do with the company, its Linux partnerships, or anything else Redmond-based. In other words, Microsoft is doing its best not to be caught on the hook of the GPL v3. Ah, Microsoft, you'd love to be able to do that, wouldn't you? Horacio Gutierrez, Microsoft's Vice President of Intellectual Property and Licensing. Isn't it terrible they've got a Vice President of Intellectual Property and Licensing? Oh, well. Spelled it out. Microsoft's not a party to the GPL V3 license, and none of its actions are to be misinterpreted as accepting status as a contracting party of the GPL V3 or assuming any obligations under such license. Now, Stephen J. Von Nichols says, I'm no lawyer, but let me spell it out for Microsoft. In Section 0, Terms and Conditions of the GPL V3, we find that to convey a work means any kind of propagation that enables other parties to make or receive copies. Moving along, we reach Section 3, where we find, when you convey a covered work, you waive any legal power to forbid circumvention of technological means to the extent such circumvention is affected by excising rights under the license with respect to the covered work, and you disclaim any intention to limit operation or modification of the work as a means of enforcing against the work's users yours or third party's legal rights to forbid circumvention of technological measures. Boy, isn't that hard to read. Notice the phrase, you waive any legal power. That sounds to me that Microsoft were to convey a Linux distribution like Novell's SLES, which is SUSE Linux Enterprise Server, to a customer, and some of the included code was covered by the GPL V3, Microsoft's Linux patent threats go right down the toilet. Love that turn of phrase, Stephen. Anyway, I suspect we're going to be hearing more about this issue. I imagine Microsoft's going to be wrangling back and forth on it. And will this affect their new protection racket scheme? And what about Naomi? Tune in and we'll find out what happens in the Microsoft world with regard to these things. I don't know if you remember the Electric Company. You know, when I was in college, they had a show called The Electric Company that came on after Sesame Street, and they had a thing called Love of Chair, and it would always end up with, and what about Naomi? Those were the days, carefree college days, when I would watch Sesame Street and The Electric Company. Yeah, something all college kids did, I'm sure. Anyway, there you go. That's the news of the week, and the geek culture, and the geek software of the week, and the Game Master segment, and we've tied it all up in less than 30 minutes because we rock. Yes, don't you love it? I certainly do. So I guess it's about time for us to roll on out of here. Matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere in the background, yep, there's that music. So it really must be time to say that the doctor is out of here.